don't make it matter. Got good things, got you. Hoops and everything. Get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only? Only a part of this when you...
Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. It was one of those weeks in Supercoach, captaincy carnage, HIA impact, origin bolters, and a whole lot of other stuff. A lot of Supercoaches endured multiple traumas over the weekend where most teams struggle to find their mojo. It wasn't entirely doom and gloom for some, though. Tonight on the pod, I'm joined by maybe the most informed Supercoach player on the planet. Fresh off back-to-back 1300s and skyrocketing up into the top 1000, I think maybe for the first time ever, it's coach of Tubes' pod, Tubes. Tubes, welcome to the pod. Can you confirm this is your first entry into the top 1,000?
No. Remember last year I was planted in the top 1,000 for a long time.
Right.
You just caught me at the end because you saved some trades and got lucky with your cooler pick, but otherwise I was well out. I came into the season telling you I was favourite to take out the pod top prize.
It's a long way to go.
And I'm feeling it now. It was a good weekend. I didn't realize how good of a week I had until I saw the score today. I finished 101 rank for the round with my 1354, and up into the 700 and something. So yeah, ready to kick again this round. Planning for round 16.
Took no convincing to come onto the pod. How are you set up for round 16, Tubes? You got plenty of players?
Yeah. Similar to most, I'm affected. It sounds like Dom Young's playing, so that should be good. And Fifita. So assuming they play, I've got 14 before trades, but I'm considering two trades, so I may have as much as 16. For the round.
Before we move on from your big 1350 as well, 54, sorry. What went right? Obviously, no Garrick was probably the big one.
No Garrick, no Manu. Captained Eli Katoa, bit of a pod play, which I was pretty happy with. Nicara. And Stefano. Just a good all round performance.
Was Stefano back? Was he on the weekend?
Hey, he scored 88 in 55 minutes with base and power.
Wow.
No attacking stats. He got a big rev up from Benji.
Lucky he didn't sell him.
It wasn't on the cards. No. Maybe you tried to convince him.
Also joining us tonight, it's probably not – he probably hasn't had quite as good a week, but he's finding a bit of form. He's worked his way up into the top 5,000. It's all the way from London, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny, welcome back to the pod.
Yeah, g'day, Matty. Yeah, not a bad week. I was up and about Friday, Saturday. Good bring in with Teddy. Just disappointing Sunday. Pod play from a few weeks back. Tonga, I think he's just gone off the boil completely brains, and then brought in Garrick, unfortunately. So fortunate not to captain him like a lot of coaches out there, but still moved up the ranks. So top 5,000, onwards and upwards. Few good trades this week, and looking forward to the pod.
When you bought Targo a few weeks ago, you hadn't eyeballed him properly, had you? You messaged on the river straight up. You bought him. Has Targo always looked this shit this year? And
it's the downfall of being in London. You miss a fair few games. You kind of look at the stats. You just can't get like the eye test on some of the players, and he just looks absolutely pedestrian out there. If it's not going left for the Panthers, it's going under to a forward back through the middle, and he's just looking a bit disinterested. Maybe he was hoping for a bit of a origin spot, and he just hasn't got there. But I'm just going to ride him. Was it the sunken cost fallacy? Just hopefully he turns a corner and goes well. But it's not looking good so far.
I punched out an 11.25, just a real good stock standard, good strong run. Few post contact meters to go up to 1500th overall, which I'm pretty happy about. That's about 300 spot jump. The poor old podfather, I've got the podfather staying with me at the moment, and he copped Garrick captaincy on the weekend, and he also copped Lussie KE again for the second week in a row. His season's just turned into a bit of a car crash, which is seeing him drop out of the top 10K. We're talking, though, we're reminiscing about better times with the Podfather and how he came 77th last year. We actually didn't give that as much airtime as it probably deserved. And we should actually lead with that. You know how some other pods introduce like their very high finishes? We could say the Podfather, the 2023 77th overall finisher, the Podfather, and where his kids.
Yeah, we could say progeny of the 77th finishing 2023
exactly
super coach.
But he's in pretty good spirits. He's talking about selling Garrick, so I'm trying to talk him out of that one at the moment. But he's struggling for numbers a bit this week, so it's all right. He's still at it. He loves it, so I'm sure he'll bounce back very soon. All right, let's get into the chunk of the pod as I get the run sheet back up. NRL at NRL SC pod on X. Plenty of good chatter going on there. We've also got the pod group prize, which is currently being led, sponsored by Mailbag Bloodstock, I should say. I saw Jack Dickens, chief baggy on Saturday night. He's in good form. They're really up and about. Another good runner, another few winners last week for the Mailbag. The prize is 2.5% share in a Mailbag Bloodstock horse. And we've got some big news tubes on the pod group prize leader this week.
Yeah, Quinton from Dead Hand Gang. Shout out. He's had a decent week with a 1,200 and he's rocketed up to first overall. He's been hanging in that sort of top 10 for a while and he's finally kicked clear. So I think he's a little bit ahead of the closest, but I was sort of looking at it and that top 20 is well and truly is a couple of hundred ahead of the next closest. He's on 17,800 and something. So even though I'm happy to be in the top 1,000, I'm still about 800 points behind Quinton. He's flying.
Yeah, top 100's got to be your goal, I'd say, Tubes. Then you can be the 81st placed overall for next year.
Yeah, I did. I didn't mean to turn that into a chat about my team. Well done to Quinton. He's number one overall. He's doing well for himself.
I think that's the first time we've ever had someone in the pod group in first place. So it's a pretty momentous occasion for the pod. So good luck to Quinton. We're cheering him on.
Other than Dan back in 2014 when he led for what, 10, 15 weeks or something like that before getting run.
Yeah, about 8 weeks. The buys always get me. Just can't really nail them down.
I've stopped doing the third overall, the 2014 third place overall finisher. I might need to bring that back just to keep the ego going for you, Dan.
No, I think a few little rumours and murmurs around me being the third best Ricks in Supercoach, if not fourth with the Podfather. Just going to stay here, stay humble, try to claw my way back at the end of the season.
All right, let's get into this week's temper traps. Now, for those unaware, we probably need to describe this a little bit better every week. The temper traps are guys who have been either underperforming or have got HIAs or just people you want to trade them out of your team, rage trade them out of your team. And so they're the players that we go over in our temper traps. And first on the temper trap list this week, Dan, is very close to your heart, I know, is SJ, Sean Johnson from the Warriors. He was out for a month with that you have a knee injury or shoulder or no, yeah, shoulder injury. And he came back with a very poor score on the weekend against the Storm, 24 points.
Yeah, it really couldn't have looked worse. Tamari Martin going unbelievable for the Warriors and rightly so, was demanding a lot more ball. Pompey didn't even look like missing from the sideline kicking him. So that takes SJ not goal kicking, not being the dominant half, and his base has never been there. So it's really scary actually as an owner. I think at 600K, I really don't know what to do this week. Like trades are running low. You could swing him to a high price like Hughes. You could maybe do something around Jules. But, yeah, I don't know. Any advice this week?
They play the Titans. Do you get 150 this week? You just hold him. Like, he'll get you back. Like, surely you just hold him, and this is the week you've been wanting him to play for.
What's his BE?
141. Like,
so what's he going to?
He could get as low as under 500K.
This week?
No, this week. Well, with a 40, he goes to low 500s. So, yeah, I mean, he's bleeding cash. He needs a ton this week desperately. So he's a tough. I'm going to hold just because of the trade situation. I need to get him to Nico somehow in the next few weeks, and I don't have the trade. So hopefully, with nothing, with the lack of Sharp on the menu in the next couple of weeks, hopefully get some cash to go up. Hopefully, as you said, Tubes, Titans this week, get some try assists, get some tries. It's just looking pretty dire at the moment.
I don't think you've got any option. Because you want to get Nico, and you're probably going to want Cleary too for like round 20 or 21 or something. So you just can't be affording to make that many trades. Like, you can't just get a rental. Like, you have to just back that hopefully he's got. So he plays what, 16, 17, 18, miss 19, back for 20. So they're like some pretty tough rounds. And I think you just got to hope that he can. Like, he's going to get some – he's going to get some attack. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's this week. I think you could hold him for two. Nico is a definite by round 18. So 18, 19, they've got a huge, huge big game. So Johnson doesn't play round 19. So it's more just hit and hope this week. And he might even not even – he might just sit on the bench next week. So I think general consensus is probably hold, unless you're swinging maybe round at 5-8.
So I was looking at Nico today because he's probably a good person, like good chat as well. Obviously, if you're an owner, Dom, we spoke about this last week. You've made your bed and you're just sticking with Nico now for the rest of the season. So don't worry about his 213 break-even again this week. But he's going to be, Dan, he's going to be about 750K there or thereabouts in round 18 when they play someone really bad. They've got the Bulldogs in round 17, so non-owners just have to wait there. But then I think
they play Tigers, don't they? Tigers into Titans or Titans into Tigers or something like that.
Yeah, so they've got Bulldogs. Sorry,
Titans, Tigers.
So you need him, and Tigers is round 18, round 19. So like he's the clear captain that week. So you have to buy him, like. If you don't own him, you have to buy him around 18. So you've got to work out your trade plan to that point. So like I'll be doing Wishart to Nico, and it should only cost me about 120K or something like that, hopefully. Just wanted to add some Nico context to the SJ situation there. If you are thinking about SJ. Next on the temper trap list is Ruben Garrick. Now, Tubes, are you best placed to talk about Garrick here that you're not owner, or should me and Dan just have this out and think about what we want to do with Ruben?
I mean, I just – like I got lucky because I sort of wanted him last week. I would have been getting him this week. He's still a hold, isn't he? Like
yeah.
Why would you be selling him?
Well, I suppose the argument for selling him is that they don't play – He's not going to play this week with the HIA, and he's not going to play the week after because they're on the bye. So he's not back until round 18. So if people are short on players this week and need someone to sell, he's also going to lose cash now. So there is probably – if you're flush with trades, Dan, that's probably the only reason why you'd look to sell him.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear cut. You just got to hold on now. He's an end game – top four center winger, at least top five perhaps. So this time of year, just hold on. Still plays round 19. He'll be essential for that one. If you don't have him, you've absolutely lucked out, as Jube said. Like, he's going to be, you know, bottom price. You'll pick him up in round 19. Good work to those who held off trading in this week.
Anti-potting, we call it, on this side of the fence, rather than locked out. But
pretty sure I got a message Saturday night from YouTube just saying, geez, I'm scared of Garrick.
I was, but you're always scared when you're always scared when you antipod someone owned by 86% of the top 1%. He's a hold, like, because even you can't even make the Nico argument where he'll drop a bunch of cash before you want him back. Because if you did sell him, you probably want him back for 19. So he's only going to get one more price decrease before you'd want him back. So I don't see the point. You want him for 19 against the Knights for one of those numbers, and then they play the Titans the week after, and then he's a top 5-6 centre winger for the run home. So you may as well just hold him if you've got him.
Agree.
Firm hold.
The next name on the list, and he doesn't really usually fit the general temper trap profile, but it's 2024 overall leading overall scorer Scotty Drinkwater. And he's been sold en masse this week, mainly to James Tedesco. But Tubes, you're holding firm with Drinky, I believe.
Yeah. So I'm in a position where I've got Trell and Drinky, and out of the two, Trell I think is the hold. He only plays one of the next four rounds, and he's 870K. He's had a nice run, and Drinkwater 757K. I mean, he's a possible sell. Don't get me wrong. They got a bit of a they got the Panthers in round 17, then Manly, Bulldogs, Sharks. So toughish run, but those Manly, Bulldogs, Sharks games are all at Cowboys Stadium. Which he typically excels at. Jono sort of talked me into it a little bit, saying it was five out of their last six games from 21 through to 27. Five of their last six games are at Cowboys Stadium. And so I just think that he's just a far and away better player up there. And so I just think he's going to be still a decent hold for the run home. And given the trades and looking at what fullbacks you're going to want to have, I just think I'd rather hold at this point of the season and just keep him for the run home.
So they play six of their last eight at Queensland Countryback Stadium.
That's probably the better stat. Dan? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the counter to that is it's all about Fletcher Sharp next week. So Fletcher Sharp, huge negative break even, bottom price, 204K. Going down to Fletcher Sharp next week, if you bring in a centre wing for him and you can do the flip, so you bring in Sharp next week as the fullback, it's essentially a 570 grand swing there with potential for Sharp to make 200 to 300K or maybe 150 to 250 by round 19. I just think the money on offer there, unless you're like Tubes and you've kind of got to trade two fullbacks in the next couple of weeks. But if you're running Tedesco or any other main fullback and you basically need Sharp next week, it's got to be Drinky for me.
But I mean, I get what you're saying, but I certainly don't need to trade two fullbacks. I'm talking about holding Drinkwater. And what would most people's options right now, they would probably own – they're either selling Drinky to Teddy or they might own Drinky and Teddy, and they're looking at selling Drinky because obviously Teddy's the hold. My argument would be just hold both, and then, like, there's every possibility that Teddy becomes the sell – next week to Fletcher Sharp as well. They don't play round 19 as well, and then the Roosters don't have the easiest run home. And your argument still holds true, except you make 600 and or 700K selling Teddy to Sharp.
Wait. So Tedesco goes Bulldogs, Tigers, St. George, averaging currently 85.
Can't possibly sell Teddy. We're playing the West Tigers.
No world, you can sell Teddy. So what I'm saying is you will likely, if you've got Teddy and Drinkwater, you're trading Drinkwater next week anyway. So you could wait and play it safe, conservative, as you like to call it, Tubes, and see what happens next week. Say Teddy gets injured. That's the only option I'd see in that scenario. But you're holding Teddy. trading Drinkwater is pretty easy this week. I don't see him as a top two fullback for the run home regardless. There's too many on offer.
I think if they're this fullback decision, it's going to get more and more important each week for the run home. Like, it could really decide your season. Like, if, when trades start running out and you've only got your two premium fullbacks and there's obviously five or six really good ones, I'm not willing to stake it right now, but I wouldn't be shocked that I'm banking Drinky can still outperform Tedesco for the end for the rest of the season. And is it worth the trade for me?
He plays one less Tedesco game.
Yeah, including this week.
Yeah, he plays one less game. So the Cowboys haven't had a bye, so they've got three byes left. Roosters have got two. I'm just looking at the Roosters draw. Obviously, people have been saying how good it is. I don't really see how you can. If you've got Teddy, I think he's probably in your team for the rest of the year, Dan. Like, I don't see what which point you're actually selling him at any point of that run home. Maybe round 19.
Yeah, possibly, but I think he's run home at the moment. Like, hold him till you can.
Their last four games are unbelievable. They've got three.
He's just getting old. It's a long.
The only thing for Teddy is his concussion risk because of his history.
I think you're picking apart most fullbacks, like, because they're all just so good.
Oh, like, we'll talk.
Turbo will be a bit of a pod.
Turbo, Reece Walsh. Like, so many good fullback. Pong is going to come back at some point.
There's too many. Yeah. So I don't think Drinky's in your team. So, and this week's pretty ripe to get rid of him.
All right. Let's push on to Blaze Talangi. Now, I've got to admit, I didn't see any of this Parramatta game on the weekend, Dan. So I'm going to hand this one over to you. What's the argument to be kicking out Blaze as a temper trap?
I think he's just topped out in price now. So he's certainly, if you've still got him, I think he's still a strong option for round 19 if you can get the numbers for this week. Now that it looks like Faiolongo is going to be a sell possibly next week, I think you can just hold on to Blaze. I think he still looks good. Base work, I'm not quite sure what it's like on the weekend, but it wasn't too bad. So, yeah, I think he's probably a hold if you've got him now. I'm just a bit upset I sold him for Garrick.
So 606K, he had a 43 on the weekend, Dan, and that was with a try off a kick. Line break.
Para have Titans in round 19, so you're just banking on that he's going to be a good centre wing option to get jag a double potentially, and then hopefully he doesn't lose too much cash, and you're probably swinging him to a premium some stage or moving on to a fullback, something like that. I think he's probably a hold if you've held him now, as long as you've got the numbers for this week. If you don't and you're looking to get a premium in the likes of, say, an Asako, who plays around 16 and 19, I think that's not a bad option. But if you're good and flush for numbers, just hold Blaze this week.
Tubes, Kai Pierce-Paul was a late out, although the rumours were earlier in the week that he was going to not play. The Knights are obviously on the bye this week. I just think that numbers for round 19 are at such a premium that KPP's had a really good level of consistency this year that you got to back him to be coming back for that round 19 game, I would have thought, and hold him through.
Yeah, I sort of looked at selling him. We misread a Barry Tui tweet saying KP back round 20, 21. So I thought misread that as K-poo-poo. But then saw a little bit later on that he's aiming to be back for the Eels game. So I think he's a hold. He's a number for 19. He's 540K. I don't think he's losing money, and you're just sort of hoping that he can make a little bit of cash. I mean, he's probably he could be a season-long keeper if he can just keep playing 80 minutes on that edge. Like, it's not worth getting rid of completely. He could be a good depth. It's not like – is there not huge options in the back row this year that are sort of jumping out of the pack outside of the, you know, the big two or big three?
Jeez, I wouldn't mind Olakau'atu.
Changed to big three.
Probably the only thing, and it's probably just a bit too guessy, and you can just probably wait for it to see what happens, is with the emergence of your boy, Dylan Lucas, as a bit of an all-round powerhouse, we've seen that he's dropping back to the bench once already. Like he's probably got to be in some danger of going back to the bench, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think he will. I think if that ends up happening, you're going to sell him, but you can wait till round 20
or
after round 19.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's right. All right, let's move on to our positional analysis now, starting as always at hooker. We won't get too into him, but big shout out to all those suffering Joey Lussick owners. My God, that has just been such a nightmare, especially if he copped his AE, like we spoke about for the Podfather. But moving on to more relevant players who we might be looking to bring in. Appy Korosau played halfback on the weekend for the Tigers. He's expected to move back to hooker this week with Lockie Galvin due back. Dan, the Tigers, as we know, play every single week now until round 20. Is Appy the prevailing option at hooker if you're looking to buy there? I know we've spoken a lot about where you want to spend your money, but Appy does seem like he's a nice price now, and he's really sort of running the majority of the play through. He's going through him for the Tigers.
Yeah, look, I think he's guaranteed 80 minutes ongoing now. I really like him at hooker compared to halfback, but what I did like about when he was at halfback on the weekend is he actually switched back to hooker for the remainder, and he just looks so dominant with the Tigers' attack. When he's at hooker, he gets multiple opportunities. Those crash balls to the likes of Stefano and Bolle is definitely one you want. Plays around 16 and 19, and he's still at a good price of 570K. There's just not another premium now that's kind of priced below that 600K. You're probably looking, JMK still got a good run playing 16 and 19 as well. So for me, it's if you don't have one of those two, probably looking at that. It all comes down to the hooker conundrum, though. I don't think it's time to buy two premium hookers. So if you've got Harry Grant, there may be a case, Matt, for trading out Harry and going to Appy. But I don't think it's there.
I don't have enough trades for that kind of carry on.
No.
Yeah. That's luxury.
I think you've got Appy or you don't. Yeah. I think you've got Appy or you don't. Like, I don't think you can muck around too much with your hooker trades with just how many trades are actually left. I'm a happy owner, but I don't think he's gonna be a big difference maker necessarily over the next 4 weeks, but he's a good number to have.
I think really now most people own a combo of Harry and Appy, or Harry and JMK, or JMK and Appy. Just looking at the ownership stats, otherwise you've got a Brendan Hands or a Brayley. Thinking about like who you're actually moving, Brayley's a really tough one because he plays round 19, but he's been starting on the bench. He's starting to leak cash. He's back down. He got a 36 on the weekend. 408K. He's probably one, Dan, that you would move to a JMK or an Appy.
Yeah, I think so. But again, I wouldn't move if you've got another premium there. I think you've just got to ride it out at hooker now. There's no real reason. Like a point we made a couple of weeks ago on the pod was you're going to only have four reserves. You're not going to put the reserve usually on a hooker because you've just got so many other strong players on your bench in your final 25. So I think you're just holding Brayley and you're holding the likes of Danny Levi for this week if you've still got him. Just probably focus on that one main hooker.
Yep. I think that's right. It's probably one that probably a position that probably you probably like over index on worrying about for its actual value. So I think that's pretty good advice. The other one who's come to prominence, Dan, and I've got to put my hand up as someone who poo-pooed this when you made the call about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but Cookie has just been on fire for the Bunnies. he's got the rev up from you, and he's got the rev up from me, laughing at your suggestion of bringing him in, and he's really started turning it on.
Yeah, I think just the weight of the world is off his shoulders now. I think he was probably a bit nervous about Origin and the build-up, maybe overplaying his hand a bit. He knows he's not in the squad now. He knows he's not there, and he's just having fun and enjoying himself. I might do a little pod later just on the stats. Now, look, right now, 670K, he's 30 to 40 grand more expensive than Harry Grant and JMK. He does play the two big buy rounds coming up. I think he's a definite pod option. I really like the way they're using him now. Like, even when Mamazelis is coming off on Cookie staying on the field. So yeah, he'll be an exciting one to watch for the run home. And that's probably a tough call, is who would you pick out of Appy and Cookie? I may lean to Cookie in that scenario.
Yeah, wow. He's
he's not the conservative option.
He's also playing for that contract, Dan. He's got
Dragons contract. He's going back.
Dragons, chat about the Roosters, but all like he's getting the offers on the table, so he's putting his best foot forward. But yeah, he's played 80 the last five out of the last 6 weeks, and the other week he got a 68. So yeah, he's certainly found a bit of a niche in that role, and he's a sneaky pot option at very sub 3% ownership. So it's a good shout, and I got that one wrong. Let's move down to front row forward now. AFB dominating the position this year. How did AFB go on the weekend, Tubes?
He got 53. I don't know how many minutes he played, but that's probably his floor
when he's
minutes.
When he's, it, when he's not blown up about something. Yeah. When he got that, like when he got that 37.
Yeah.
But yeah, so good result for non-owners. I just was looking at I brought in Tarpany last week. When all that news of Fifita out and KPP and Dom Young, and so I actually boosted. I had two boosts left, so I thought I'll probably not a bad time to use one to get a bit of value out of the boost. So I went Josh Curran up to Tarpany, got me that extra number last week, but I couldn't quite afford AFB. AFB sub 700K now, Tubes.
Yeah.
He's got to be probably prime. He's got to be probably one of the prime targets for anyone making trade this week.
I think so. I think for me, there's a couple of people that talk about this week, whether or not you're happy to just have 13 or whether you really go for it and try to, you know, get 15, 16, 17. I don't know if it's completely about that. I think if you're making a trade this week, you're looking to try and find the ones that are season end keepers. And I think AFB ticks all the boxes for this weekend. Like, he can go big. He has the ability to go 100 plus, and also he's clearly in the top two front row forwards for the run home, and he's at one of the lowest prices he's been all season. I think he's just the perfect trade-in option this week.
I would really like to get him. I'm as you were talking there, I was kind of thinking about, because I'm planning that I won't make any trades this week. But then, Dan, if you don't get him this week, do you just get him another week, say at some point coming up, given he doesn't play round 19, or do you wait then till round 20?
Well, it's a tough one. I think it depends who you're trading out. So I think this week, and a lot of people are trading him out, Terrell May, people are trading him out. He's a big firm hold this week. Like, he could get 65 minutes. He jags a try, he goes over 100, right? Next week, Terrell May, likely 600K. No more. I mean, he might get his minutes, like on the weekend, just dropped off completely. So you can't trust him as your top two front row forwards for the end of the year. So I think Terrell May next week is a massive trade out. So if you're thinking of laying AFB this week, yeah, that's fine. But I think he's probably in your team by next week when you're trading out Terrell May. My plan is actually to go to Josh Curran, who is playing this week, up to AFB, just for the security, just so I know AFB is going to be end game, even though Curran plays this week. And I've got 13, 14 players, so I'm just doing that. And I actually potentially plan to bring in Payne Huss next week. So just really solidify front row forward for the end year. They're the two you want.
Wouldn't Terrell May, though, be a fine third front row forward?
I think he's a good sell.
Not at the price. It's 600 grand. I think he's a hard sell. If he was 450, like Samuel Olafanu, who people might have priced at that 450, 500K, I think that's who you want as your third front row forward. And maybe end game, if you've got the trades, then upgrading to the likes of Tapane or something like that. But, yeah, definitely a sell at 600 grand.
I don't think he's a good third front row forward anyway. Because I think if you could afford it, he's a good fourth front row forward. You don't want to be forced to play him, because at any given week he might play 30 minutes.
On the flip side of that, any given week he could bust out of 55, 60 minutes and score you 100.
Yeah, so do you just play him every week as your third front row forward? He's not the best one to say I can bring him in if there's an injury. I think I'd rather at 600K, I'd rather sell him or nuff him out, like depending on what your plans are. I'm bringing in AFB this week for someone in the back row and moving Finu down to the back row. And then I plan on selling Terrell May in the next 2 weeks and moving Finu back as my third front row forward and upgrading Terrell May to one of those back rowers that I'm sure we're about to speak about.
Interesting. Yeah, Payne Haas has obviously come on the radar. He's cheap. He got a 99 on the weekend. I didn't even realize that. But he's got he's 700K now, Dan. He's someone you're looking at, you just mentioned. Joey Tarpany, how much is Big Joey this week? He was 616K when I bought him the other day. 650K now. He got 58 on the weekend. I didn't see a lot of the game, but he only got 22 points in his first stint and then came back on and did okay his second stint. The minutes weren't quite there, weren't quite what I wanted. But I also knew that signing up that you're a bit exposed to Ricky Ball. 58 minutes, not too bad actually, to be fair. So he's gone PPM of 1 there with no attack. He's probably like it's probably the gap now, Dan, is probably too close to AFB for Tarpany to be a realistic option over AFB, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think you've just got to go up to AFB. The price is too similar. Tapane as well. I think it's Smithies that's killing Tapane's season. Like, obviously, he's had a few good weeks now, Tapane. But Smithies is just taking all those grunt work minutes in the middle that maybe the Tapane might have got earlier. So 650K, I think he's priced about right. There's not much value there unless you're looking to solidify your front row forward. I think he's a fine play for the rest of the year, but he's just no value at the price now.
Speaking of Ricky Roulette, like, it was sort of nice and fun and pretty funny to start the year, like Danny Levi, and, you know, he was a good cheapie, and he's still playing 58 minutes as the starting hooker. Like, Tom Starling sitting on the bench playing 22 minutes. Like, their attack just goes to die from when they pick it up in the hooking position. And anyway, I just don't understand it.
He's an all or nothing player. Levi, like, he doesn't make tackles. Like, his base is terrible. He just tries to score. He's kind of in the right place at the right time sometimes. But yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
I wish that I thought of it before last weekend, but. I think the Raiders, so like they started the year, like you could tell, like no one really rated their squad, and I don't think many still would. But Ricky had just got them so up for these games, and they were so highly motivated, trying their guts out. Maybe now that season's just starting to taper off a bit, and you're going to see a few games like that where they just get really towed up because they're just not as hungry as they were at the start of the year as finals start to slip away. So they could actually become really a team to target, the Raiders, I think. Thankfully for Joe Tarpany, that shouldn't affect his output too much, but we'll see. Tubes, Stefano Uticamano. That's a shocker. 88, you said. Geez, where's that come from?
Honestly, I couldn't recommend buying him, but he's had 88 in 58 minutes or 57 minutes, and it was all base attack, so no attacking stats. 12 points in offloads, 18 points in tackle breaks. He just looked absolutely phenomenal. And he's 555K. We talked about the Tigers draw, he plays 16 and 19. If Benji can keep him up for a few more weeks, I'll be happy to have him in my front row forward.
Dan, you mentioned you're going to sell Josh Curran. He's one of the most interesting ones for me, just given his jewel. I would have happily kept him, but I was kind of happy enough to sell him as well. I think he's really just like a team-dependent one, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Coming off a concussion, he's had a history with concussions in the past as well. So, I mean, there's a potential that he doesn't even get named tomorrow. And if he doesn't get named, he's a strong sell. If he does get named, it's team-dependent. It depends what you're looking at for your final teams. I think he's a great third front row forward for the run home. But it just you just want those premiums there. So I don't think he's a top two that you want to play every week, just with the rotation starting off the bench. Kind of jags a try, but still only goes kind of sub 80. So yeah, I think he's a fine sell. He's a fine hold. We'll see what happens tomorrow with team list.
Moving down to 2RF now, Eli Katoa Tubes just keeps getting it done. What more is there to say about him? Can you still bring him in, or I'm surely most people have got him now.
I think similar to what we just talked about, AFB, he ticks all the boxes if you don't have him. I think he's only 22% owned, which seems crazy. I'm sure it's higher than that in
it's the top 65.5% owned in the top 5% now.
Yeah, so I'd still be buying him this week. I know he's expensive, but he's top two second row forwards, and plays this weekend. And as we saw on the weekend, he certainly can go 90-100 plus with his attacking output.
Yeah, his motor is just unbelievable. Like, he's playing rock solid 80 minutes week in, week out, and picking up tries. Like, it's just you definitely need him. This week's the week if you don't have him.
Hudson Young's on the run sheet. Who wants to put their hand up to chat about Hudson Young?
I thought worth just Podson. He's back. he's dropped from Origin. They play this week. He's averaging 67.4 this season. So he's in the top six second row forwards for average?
730K.
Yeah, just Podson. Option if to go Hudson Young.
Playing the Tigers, he is an absolute hog. Like, he basically stops Strange passing it out the back by running a line where he has the only option to pass to Podson. So he gets plenty of ball there. Not great for your boy on the other side on the right for the Raiders, Tubes, and we'll talk about him later. But he's 730K. He's so overpriced. He's not a run-home second rower. Huge pod, but not for me.
Just it's so tempting them playing the Tigers this week. You could see him just going like 130 and like
shortest short-term players. Yeah, that's it.
I know.
Like, he doesn't make your team most weeks, I don't think. Like, particularly if they've got a tough opponent.
Just Podson. Depends how your team value's looking. If you're over 15.5 million and you've got a bit of cash floating around, he's not a bad option.
Just a big shout out to those 345 super coaches in the top 5%, mind you, so highly engaged. You've brought in Angus Crichton this week when he's not going to be playing. I don't know what's going on there. But the two most, who do you reckon the second most purchased after Angus Crichton 2RF is this week, Dan?
Ellie?
Olakau'atu. Also not playing this week.
So would that just be – it's a weird thing. So you could argue people are getting ready for round 7-8.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
But surely you would wait till after Origin to get in these Origin players that could easily get injured.
And then third most purchased, Britton Nakora, also not playing this week.
But that at least makes a bit more sense because that is planning for 17. He's not actually playing Origin. I mean, it makes more sense to me than Oluwatu and Crichton.
Who are people getting rid of to get those guys in there?
K-poo-poo.
Yeah, but you don't need to.
Maybe
you could wait on that.
Yeah, maybe a flip, a centre wing flip, perhaps.
Potentially move Burbo down to the 2RF.
Burbo going down.
Potentially. Anyway, very interesting.
Anyway, basically don't sell. Bring him in, sorry.
Down to halfback, Tubes, only one place to start here, and that's your boy Jerome Hughes. I'm really jealous. He's turned up again. He's just been a model of consistency and you can probably ride that wave through now for at least another month, I would have thought.
I think so. I mean, the Cleary news is going to be interesting. If Gus Gould, we might have to start calling you Matty Gould. That might.
I got Gus Gould covered. Look. I'm telling you, there's no way Nathan Cleary is coming back for Origin 3. That's a Matty Wilder exclusive.
If Cleary came back, it would make the decision tough. But Jerome Hughes, when I went Cleary to Hughes, 4 or 5 weeks back now, he's really just done a job. And if you got stuck with him, so to speak, for the whole run home, he's you wouldn't feel too bad about it. He's the attack all runs through him since Munster's left and got injured, and then they've also got Eli Katoa. It's just a nice little 1-2 punch combo, similar to what Dylan Brown and Sean Lane used to be back in their heyday.
Yeah, interesting story about Hughes. I had a patient the other day who worked out of the Brisbane Broncos doing some data quant analysis for them, and he was saying on their data that Jerome Hughes is the most vital halfback in the comp. So, I mean, he's just been unbelievable how much ball he's gotten, and Munster out for him is so big. Even at his price now, high 600, 670, I think he's a great option to bring in, and I'm floating maybe bringing him in for SJ.
He's 700, he's 741. Nice. You wish he was 670.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I'm not
bringing him. It's a nice little three. Nice three rounds too, Dolphins, Canberra, Tigers. So,
it's beautiful.
Doesn't play 19, but nice.
What round
nice
do they play
weeks.
The Tigers?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Oh, that's a week 18. I want to sell Wishy to Nico.
It's the same with the likes of Meany. That's just such a dream run, and I wouldn't worry. I think myself included, I sometimes get too caught up in playing the bye rounds. If you get guys that are tonning up, you know, a bit like Brian Toto over the last 2 weeks, it doesn't matter if they don't play those bye rounds. They're just getting so many points against the other teams. I don't think you need to be too worried. And Jerome Hughes playing this week against the Dolphins, dominant half, two massive games coming up, the next two. I feel like I'm talking myself into buying him still at 7.
Suncorp as well. Suncorp on Friday night.
It's just a trade track thing for me. I just don't have that many. I just don't want to be making that many more trades in the halves. I know that I'm going to have to end up getting Nico and Cleary. So where does that – you're just causing yourself a headache, I would have thought, in 3 or 4 weeks' time when you – that's my only – he's an amazing buyer. Wishy's 563K now. You can't really go near him. He's got to be a five, but they played this week, and then he's going to be a sell in the next couple of weeks after that. Particularly if for non-Nico owners like myself. Dan, there is a pod option who not many people were expecting this week, but a big win for his owners, and that's Matty Burton, who's 719K, but no one was really expecting him to be available this week. So he's a tiny bit cheaper than Hughes, but I don't know. I think Hughes is better, but Burto is certainly a pod option. He's been getting it done.
Birdo's a great option if you plan, if it's in your trades, to get him down to 5'8". I think he's an endgame second 5'8". If you're running Dylan Brown and Birdo at 5'8", you're pretty golden there. So, you can definitely bring him in if you've got the cash. It's quite a high price, over 700K, but dominant, Bulldogs on the up, goal kicking. I think he can still do a job against the Roosters this week. I think he's a decent option. Shout out to those who brought in, what's his name, Mitchie Boy Barnett from the Warriors. He's been playing sensational the last few rounds, and now he's jagged the 18th man spot in New South Wales. So a bit unlucky to those guys.
No, he's 19th man, isn't he?
He's 18th.
Oh, really? So he's not playing.
So he was in great. Yep. He was in great form. Yeah.
Oh, geez, that's stiff.
I don't like Burton at the price. Like, he's had an unbelievable run since round five, where he had that 147, and then he pretty much got 80 every week until last round when in 14, where he got 39. I just think he's got those low scores in him that I wouldn't feel super confident having him in my 17 for the run home. So I'd much rather not look at having him as my second 5'8 at that expensive price, whether it's halfback or 5'8. I think Hughes or holding the options that you've got is probably, like, I would definitely, if I was you, Dan, I would 100% hold SJ against the Titans rather than bring in Matt Burton this week.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's probably more relevant for if Lockie Galvin doesn't get named this week. Probably a sell, because he's obviously, like, Tigers are going in a different direction perhaps, but yeah, you're right. He's probably not a sell, and everyone's got a dominant half and you're holding Nico. So, yeah, tough one to
play. Galvin will be named if he's fit. It's just if he's not fit, but they're saying that they think he's going to be back. So Galvin's interesting. Like, I want to sell Galvin as soon as I can, but he's playing round 19. So I kind of like the idea, Dan, of having one of these gun halves in.
Who do you want to sell him to?
Well, I was originally going to sell him to Nico, but now it's going to be too perfect, really, to sell Wishy to Nico, because you need Nico before round 19. So probably the plan will be Wishy to Nico in 18, and then sell Galvin after round 19. Ideally that'll be to Cleary, but I got to sell Cody as well. So I need a 5'8". Because I can put Dill bags will go back down to 5'8", and so still got to find a run home second 5'8". But that could be, like, there's a few options you can go there, Dan. Like, you could go cheap as well.
You could. I actually have plans to just hold Galvin for the year. So yeah, as the second 5'8". I think he's base is well enough. Just leave him there. I think the only option, maybe late stage, I might nuff that position out for a bit of cover. But I think he's fine to hold if he's playing this week, 16, 19. I mean, I just don't want to be making trades, as Tubes alluded to. Like, who do you sell him to? There's just not enough options there.
100%.
Could Cody,
he's a hold.
If you were me, Dan, so my 2 5'8s are Cody and Galvin. Would you probably run home with one of them as your second 5'8"? Cody's probably all right.
Definitely, yep. And it depends. Cody's a hard sell if he gets up to what price is he at the moment?
He is, I think he's high 600s now, or mid 600s. Yeah,
650. Yeah. So if he's staying around the 650 to 700K, and Galvin's at 500s, like, Galvin's a bigger hold over Cody as your second 5'8".
You guys can do a team debrief on Matt's team post-pod, I think.
The listeners are interested. This is macro strategy, Tubes. I know you're a bit of a fly-by-your-pants kind of guy week to week, but we're talking macro strategy here.
It's working well for you.
Speaking of 5'8s, let's move down to that position now to have a bit more chat about. Maxi Plath, Tubes, has become quite a prevailing option. He plays around 16 and 19. I'm not going anywhere near Maxi Plath, though. Well done to those who have him.
I think that's all it is. It's well done to those who have him. And he's just, I love his dual flexibility. And that you can move him around if you already owned him. He certainly, all the things I said earlier about who your trade-in targets are this week, he does not hit any of those for me.
Do you reckon anyone hates – you love the dual flexibility. Do you reckon anyone hates the dual flexibility? It's like one of our best cliches.
I don't think anyone hates it, no.
It's more how much value you give to it.
Yeah, I give a lot of value to it, especially like the random ones, like 5'8" second row forward.
Mate, Connor Watson.
Sort of like halfback center wing.
Dual second row hooker.
Oh. Yeah, hooker. Yeah, loving that's it. A good one too.
Jaden Campbell, Dan, I kind of rubbished it a bit last week and I'm still not fully sold. I just don't love it at 5'8", but they play 16 and 19. And he does have a monster ceiling, I think. Maybe not at 5'8", though. What do you reckon?
No, I think it's a bit of smoke and mirrors these last couple of weeks. I can't see him going big at 5'8". Like, it's a really tough decision. Still a decent price. It's very team dependent. If it frees up some cash to go big elsewhere, potentially. But again, there's probably no one to sell. I wouldn't go Galvin to Jaden Campbell. I wouldn't go SJ to Campbell. I've been floating around with that a little bit because he's going to generate a bit of cash. But again, it comes down to trade. So he's a trade in and a trade out. And Tube said, you're bringing in premiums. You're bringing in guys that you want to keep for the year. And he's definitely not that.
He hasn't gone over 100 since round 25 in 2021. So ceiling's not huge.
Fair enough.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game. Well, the juggler. The juggler's come out at Brookie.
All right, centre wing, Jermaine Asako. He has a big old BE this week, but this is the week you want him around 16 time. 650K tubes. You're having a very strong look at Jermaine.
Yeah, he was hot property about 5 weeks ago after he had that 150, and people were racing to get him in before he skyrocketed in price. I think this is about the lower end of his sort of value, and I'm looking at similar to AFB. I think this is the right price, and he's a definite run home center wing. With good base and good upside, you basically just plug and play him every week.
Dan, with the Sarko, you talk about guys in these buy rounds who can really hurt you, and he is one of them. Do you think that's even the case, like in a tough fixture against the Storm?
I think so. It doesn't take much. He really only takes a try to kind of get 70 plus. So I think he's a very rock solid safe option. Tube set it all. Keeper, easy. At 650K, bring him in if you don't have him.
Now, the next man I want to talk about is Matt Timoko from the Raiders. He's a real poster boy for you guys. I just can't really get around him. But, Tubes, you're putting him up as a big matchup this week for the Tigers. And if you weren't an owner, because we already know you are, would you be looking at him as a big pot option this week?
Obviously, I bought him a few weeks ago. I think at about the same price. I bought him mainly for this round, but I also genuinely think that at 500K, he could be in your final six center wings and play on matchup for the Raiders. He does have the ability to go big. He obviously had a 124 earlier in this season. Last year, he had a couple of scores over 100, a couple in the 90s. He's just got a good base work rate, and it doesn't take much for him to have a big round. So I think on matchup, you can look to play him. Last year on the run home against the Dragons, he had 122, and against the Bulldogs, he had a 96. So I just don't mind him as a round 16 option, and then a six center wing for the run home.
I just counter that with, in the last eight games, he hasn't scored over 66.
Hasn't scored a try. I said, it's just been – Fogarty's back in the next couple of weeks. You're really right in the Tigers match up this weekend. And and hoping he just has one of those games. He has been hit brutally by Fogarty being out more than anyone else. KO Weeks on that side hasn't been fantastic for him.
Yep.
With early ball.
Yep. I think that's well summed up. Phil Sammy has had his fair share of injuries this year, Tubes. He's kind of always threatening and as an option. No, I just can never pull the trigger on him. But yeah, what do you think about Phil as a sort of option to play? So you're going to play either 16 and 19, and possibly beyond.
Yeah, I think he's one of Dan's boys that Jono tipped him into.
Well, historically, he's been your boy, Chips. You've always been a big Sammy fan, but he's in, you know, pending massive changes. Like he's actually coming into the side at the moment. So, Senna's a bit tough, but his base on the weekend was really, really good. I think there's a chance he goes to wing with an injury. I just really doing him as a massive pod play round 16, round 19. Price is okay at 550K. Just looking for someone to explode. Like I really like Tomoko as well. And then I'm just looking at Sammy because he plays that round 19 fixture. So yeah, definitely pod option. He's looking in the Casa Bonitas at the moment.
I was a bit distracted and probably a bit too diplomatic in my initial throw to you guys about Sammy, but just looking at it, Dan, his B is 116. I know that's not everything this week, but he's playing center. I can't possibly have him at center. He's a workhorse. Like you said, his base was okay. His ceiling's completely capped at center, and I also think it's bad for his base, a bit like Karaz.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a huge pod option. It doesn't look good on paper at the moment. I'm just hoping things turn around.
Maybe we got to wait for your other pod for next week. There is a bloke on the horizon, Dan, that we wanted to just bring up quickly. The Broncos have got a really nice run in after the bye this week, and someone who's not going to be really on everyone's radar, but we're thinking maybe he could be a popular little pod next week, is Dean Mariner. Talk me through your thinking there.
I've just looked at the stats. He's looking great, and the eye test when I have watched the Broncos games, he looks very, very good. So Broncos have a great run, as you said, like back end of season. He could definitely be a fifth, sixth centre wing. Very, very good run. They play round 19. So I think a lot of people like Tubes are flushed for numbers this week. And if you're looking to bring in a premium, say the likes of Fanua Blake, Hughes at halfback, and you need a bit of cash generation, I don't see him as a – I mean, he could be a purchase for you this week, get the cash and go up somewhere else. So just one to watch massively for next week, Dean Mariner.
Our last position of the evening is fullback. And Tubes, fair to say that Lehigh Hopewadi purchases pretty happy with what they saw on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, I think you made a comment last week that me and Jono gave him a bit too much airtime on the previous pod, Matt. But yes, it was for those that listened, I think they were very happy to hear that chat.
Vindicated.
And Jono and I had a nice conversation about that on the weekend. and he was feeling pretty good with his I think he had a 1270 and Lehigh Hopewadi he brought in instead of Garrick, which was a huge pod play. In all that being said, he's not a buy now. They play 16, but then they're on the bye 17, and the rumor is Turbo's back for 18. So you only get one, you get this week, and you get one more price rise out of him. If you're going to go, last week was the time to have a crack.
So a bit of a trap this week.
Yeah, trap this week for sure. What's best result is he gets say 100, which obviously you're happy with this week. He goes up another 100K. That's it, and then he's probably out of the team after that. Or
flip him to Fletcher Sharp. You're flipping him to Fletcher Sharp.
You are, but
Fletcher
for 100K, it's not worth the extra trade.
No.
Agree. Dan, another one who's looking like he's coming back this weekend is Pappenhausen. If he's straight into fullback, that obviously has implications for Sua Fiolongo and his owners. let's try and have that discussion about those two guys together. Pappy would be a huge pod move, and Sua is probably a hold this week. But then if he's caught out on the wing, he's probably a sell in the ensuing 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's definitely a sell if he goes to the wing and then Pappy's back. I think people in Tubes' situation should be really considering the likes of Drinkwater to Pappenhausen. I really like him. I think he would be one that could potentially match Teddy end of the year if he plays every game. Great run for the next three, like Dolphins, Raiders and Tigers. And we know what Pappy can do. So he's a definite pod option. I think he's one if you maybe even anti-podding Fletcher Sharp next week, if you just avoid and miss him. Very tough to do, but I don't mind Pappenhausen if he plays this week.
What about that leg injury, Dan? If he's good to go, he shouldn't have any problems coming back from that broken leg.
Yeah, bone is probably the best healer, so there's no kind of ligament issues. It's just waiting the time, and I think he's even plated it up, so just reinforced his brittle bones to put a bit more steel into him, and yeah, should be good to go once he's fit.
Yeah, I think the way that all might pan out is if Pappy's back this week, or even if he's not, it's another week. Suafailongo is the perfect ticket basically to Fletcher Sharp next week, Tubes, and I think that's going to be a move that most teams will be looking to make.
Yeah, I think so. If you've got Sua certainly as one of your fullbacks, or you're moving around one of those center wings, he'll be a sell as soon as Pappenhausen's back. Even if he's on the wing, I think he's probably still going to be a sell. And obviously, he'd only be on the wing this week with Coates. I want to see another game of Fletcher Sharp. That'll be a discussion for next week, but.
Yeah,
it just comes down to if you think you need that moneymaker still, and how you sort of positioned. I'm not sold on the fact that I won't try to just keep two gun fullbacks and skip Sharp at this stage.
Last bloke I want to talk about, and I'm really glad someone added him to the run sheet because I've really liked the look of him the last few weeks at the Dogs. I actually picked him up in one of my draft leagues. Connor Tracy is 545K this week, break even of 21. He's dual fullback center wing, which is there's obviously a few of those blokes floating around at the moment. But he's got really low ownership, and they're running a ton of attack through him, especially down that right-hand side. I think that price is pretty nice, to be honest. Who wants to chat about Connor?
Well, I think you summed it up pretty well there. I think 550K for a fullback in a decent side playing this bye round. I think historically you want fullbacks for these big bye rounds because they can sometimes go big. His base isn't quite there. Their run isn't tremendous. He looked very good on the weekend, last weekend when they played three try assists and went for a ton. So definite option and very good with plans for Sharp next week, particularly with the dual.
Are they good, the Dogs? I know they've looked good, and he looked very good in that last game against Parramatta. I just worry he scored above 70 he scored above 80 three times this year, and that was against that last game against Para, against the Bunnies in round four, and against the Titans in round three. I just worry if they've got enough points in them against those good teams. And as you said, bit of a tougher run coming up.
I think they are an okay team. There's not a lot between some of these teams in that sort of like 6th to 12th range this year. They've got the second best defense in the league. So they've obviously put a lot of focus on that. But yeah, I think Connor's not a bad pod shout if you're looking for a pod this week. All right, captains and vice captains this week, crucial to your team's outcome given you get the free hit on the VC. Tubes, who are you looking at for vice captains and captains this week?
I wrote down Ellie as vice captain, but I mean, it was a bit silly. Jerome Hughes, I think, is the perfect vice captain on Friday night against the Dolphins at Suncorp. For all the reasons that we talked about, even to the point that we didn't mention Harry's out as well this week. Yep. So
even more ball.
Really, yeah, should be even more ball. He should be able to demand it from Garlic. And then I think the obvious captain for non-Teddy owners like myself is Fifita against the Warriors on Saturday night. That's probably what I'm looking at doing. But, I mean, I certainly would say that anyone that owns Teddy will be captaining him this week, and I'll be scared watching that game.
Dan, what are you thinking?
Well, I actually forgot about Fifita playing. It's pretty funny. I'm still thinking about trading out SJ, but if I don't, I'm probably going to put the VC on him just for the pod. Hopefully he bounces back. It looked terrible on the weekend, but I'm just hoping and praying like I have most of this season. So either VC on Fifita or SJ, and then likely Teddy captaining, which I'm assuming is pretty similar to you, Matty.
Yeah, I'll be going Teddy captain, probably VC Fifita. I don't think Fifita C is a bad shout. I'm just always really apprehensive about – sorry, I don't, just don't do it generally. It's a bit different this week, but I just don't captain people who have got injury doubts or are coming back from injury. It just never – there's just so many examples of those guys going poor.
Is it who's the right center for Warriors usually? Is it Rocco Berry?
Yeah, Rocco Berry, but he's out. Both him and Pompey Reed.
He's out injured.
RTS.
So I think that's really good for that left-hand edge for Titans. So I think that's really
Rogers.
Roger will be there.
Rogers back.
But Roger. Right, well, Roger was on the left. It probably just depends. They might stick him. I don't know what they'll do, but yeah. Regardless, either it'll way, be a new combination.
Berry's a very good defensive center. So I think that's a bit of a hit for the Warriors.
I wouldn't mind, Matt, if you went VC Teddy and went for, and then if he didn't do any well, but I assume he will, bit of a pod option and Captain Cody against Manly on Saturday night.
Can't Captain Cody.
Oh, I'd VC love to be Captain Cody.
You need the VC trapdoor. At least with Teddy, like, you know what you're getting. What about Jermaine Asako? He's probably still a good option. It's not the best fixture, but. He's got that
definite option though. Yeah.
For Fifita, for Teddy captain, as Matt, what would you need the VC to get to not loop? What would you need the VC to get to loop?
Probably 90.
Okay.
90 or 95, something like that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different week.
It's a different week. Yeah. So, all right, boys, I think that'll see us out tonight. Been a good pod. Best of luck with your Supercoach teams for this very tricky round 16. Hopefully everyone's playing really well and have got good numbers and are saving some trades this week. Thank you very much, Danny Boy.
Cheers, Matty. Thank you.
Cheers, Tubes. Keep riding that wave, big fella.
You beauty.